resolve the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda.
Okay, Richard?
I'll second.
Okay, Leonard? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have a few minutes for public comment. Anybody would like to address the board? Move on, number three. Resolve the superintendent of school recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendation dated 3/16/11.
Motion.
By Leonard?
Second.
Pauline? Everybody get those in their packet. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolve that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CPSE recommendations dated 3/16/11.
Motion.
By Richard?
Second.
Second by Kathy? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. This time we're on to the budget discussion. I'll start with the superintendent. You'll have some information for us.
It's the budget, the board and the district, of course, continue to work on drafts as we examine the budget. This is probably our third formal draft, more to come, I'm sure. We had some breaking information that was revealed out of Albany today that could have an effect on our budget. We're not counting on it because you can't count on it, but there are movements with the legislature to make some state aid adjustments that could affect us in a positive. There's some pushback, if you will, to some of the governor's proposals that could also have some positive benefit for us. But the amounts of money to come back, if those changes were put in place, we don't know what percent of the increase aid to the upper New York State school districts will be. So it's very hard to put a cash dollar amount on what change in aid will be. So at the present time, we're not counting on it, and nor have we at all counted on it as we developed the budget. The first draft through with the board's packet, we pointed out what we anticipated at that time to be the projected expenditures, and we also listed the projected increase in expenditures. Those increases were done after approximately $419,000 in reductions had been made by the district team at that time. Since that time, we've had revisions, as I pointed out to the board members will recall. There were some items in yellow and there were some items that we wanted to double check. Those areas largely were impacted by increased costs. They came in the form of increased requirements for our district through special needs services programs. So it raised the amount of money that would need to be included in our projections significantly in that area alone. And there were some other mandated costs that also came in higher numbers than we knew at the time. But I did reflect that information also in the handout or the budget book that I passed out. And so the savings of that $418,000 that we had previously made were already passed at the turn by the increases that came with special ed costs and a few other mandated costs. Since that time, going into our third draft, our team has been working pretty much day and night, literally hours every day, looking to see if there were additional reductions that we could bring it to the board's attention even this evening. That are areas which we are not contractually driven, meaning they're not designated to personnel, they're designated to areas like supplies, materials, overtime, staff development, etc. Those kinds of categories. We looked at them right up to literally about 25 minutes before the board meeting, and have identified an additional $378,930 in cuts or reductions, if you will, from the first proposal that I sent out to the board. So adding those two together, we're in the area of $800,000 in proposed reductions. Those reductions don't take us into any major areas of staffing. And understandably, as I pointed out in my packet to the board originally, there are areas for staffing reductions that if we go into and need to go in that direction, that we've identified some areas for staffing reductions that could be made, could be considered to be made. And of course, with more time, more drafts from this night forward, if there's additional areas, then obviously we plan for those as well. So my update is pretty much just an informal, kind of an informal bringing us up to speed as to where we are right now. And then we have some support information if you are one and if you are interested to have. We have one chart that shows the comparative tax rates for the other districts in our BOCES area to give the board an idea, a relative picture of where our tax rate is currently as compared to other districts, if that's a piece of information that's helpful to you. And we also have, we can certainly discuss the impact of changing the levy from the current, well, the current levy of this year in increments as to what would the effect be on the tax rate. Or put another way, if the tax levy were to start to change off the existing level, how much, and with fund balance applied, varying amounts, how much would the tax rate go up based on just the projected expenditures that I talked about, not any additional expenditures that could be found in staffing reductions. So we have that chart here as well for general purposes. I guess, and Karen, and all board members know, Karen has had a lot of questions and worked into the conversation tonight. We can respond to them where they seem to be appropriate to explain what I passed out the first time and any changes that have been made as a result. But the net effect of your questions that you posed, the activity that we took today, as I quoted earlier, an additional $379,000 in reductions. So at that point, Steve, I guess turn it over back to the board.
Questions? Who wants to get started? Karen, you have questions first? Why don't you go ahead?
Well, I think at this point, I'd just like to share something which probably administration has looked at, but I took the time after I got this budget to see what would happen if we don't get it right when we go to the voters. And as you know, we get two chances at getting the budget approved. If at the end of the second vote, June, we were to have a no vote, from the budget that's in our hands tonight, not mentioning Mr. Amo's cuts that he has mentioned tonight, the district would have to cut $2,878,168 from what we have in our hands this evening to reach that limit for contingency budget. And I haven't reviewed the administrative component to make sure we're within the guidelines. So I'm hoping as a team we could get this right and that the voters will support us also, because cuts of that nature would be devastating.
I'll jump in water. I didn't bring my life vest, but I'm going for it. I have been saying right along, we're going to be in trouble. I think we're getting very close to that. But it was good to see some cuts. We got to cut much deeper. I'd like to see us still go down. We need to go down or we're going to be in trouble. And the cuts have to be across the board. I mean, we can't just look at one category and cut it to death. Everything has to be cut. Clubs, sports, and try to protect the educational directive that we have. I'd like to see where we're going to go with as much of the possible cuts, and not just cuts back to last year. I mean cuts deeper than that. We need to go much deeper. When I look around and see that there are other schools giving up, well, I don't know how many of you had a chance to read the onboard, but Ticonderoga is they kind of picked them and put them up there. They're kind of unusual, but I mean, the whole community came together and gave up things. Superintendent, faculty, and that's what I think we need to do. I think it needs to be a shared thing. And I would hate to see us kind of look at one aspect and do a lot of slicing. I'd like to see that across the board. But I mean crazy cuts. Not that we're going to keep them, but I'd like to see us drastically reduce as much as we can possibly reduce. I mean, I don't want to see a slush fund anywhere. Or an emergency fund case. That was okay when we were doing okay, but we can't do okay anymore. I mean, those have to go down to zero. We'd have to take a look at our clubs and whether or not they are being utilized for the amount of money that we're using. Supplies for sports. Thank God we've got a very strong booster club. Hopefully they can come in and help. And help this time with some of the basic supplies that we're probably going to have to cut out. Rather than some of the nice outfits and duffel bags that they've been supplying our kids. I'm grateful for that. Very grateful. Don't want to say that I'm not or that it's been poorly spent. I still think we don't get as close as we can in mind that we do have our reserve that we can put in, but we can't put it all in this year. It's next year is going to be a nightmare. We got to save something for next year and plan on Albany. Okay. I saw that bulletin that came through and popped up on the computer and email, but you know, I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. Maybe we will, maybe we won't, but that's how we got in trouble with getting some of our extra reserves before. So it's going to be difficult as a group, and I'm still willing to say to the administration that's here tonight, the superintendent, take it back, whip it to death, lead it. Try to protect staff, but bleed everything you can. I don't care if school supplies have to go down to 150 a classroom. I don't care if we can't afford one box of balls. Maybe we can get some help. But, and then we're probably going to have to look at staff. But I would like to see across the board everything reduced, hard reduced. Especially if we got any reserves that can be turned around. But that's where I'm at.
Richard? I've run the numbers quite a few times myself. And I don't know where we're going to go. But I know one thing. With other schools running 23 and 24 kids in elementary to make their budgets, I don't want to go there. But I'd like to see where we would be at 18 or a hair more. That isn't a super, super large number of kids. I know we've bandied about over year after year that 18 is a good round number not to go over. And I'd like not to, but we have many classes that don't have 18. And the other thing I think, although I don't know if I even support it yet, but the other thing we're going to have to look at now that the money's not there that we didn't want to do before is going, we talk about having K through 2 at Cumberland Head or whatever and then the rest here. You can save a lot of money there too because you don't have classes that you got to leave 13 because that's what's left. So I'm not saying that I want to cut that drastically, but I'm saying we need to see where that number is. That when we got 13, 14, 15 kids in the class, and everybody else has got 23, 24, there's no way we can justify that. We just can't to the public. And I understand that the numbers make differences on the grades, but when we're looking over $2 million here that we have to cut, and I'm not saying that we possibly could do it by attrition, but target positions that we could save if we did do it, and then make the decision. I mean, I don't want to fire 20 people, but if over time we can say, okay, we want to get to here, then we can look at it saying, well, I know what Stan said before, let's do it by when people retire and stuff, and I you don't argue that, but we need to see where we'd be at 18 or a little bit more. And if we did combine the classes, now I know that would cut, I don't know if it cut as much staff as we were told, but I know it would cut some staff because you're not caught with those odd classes. So I'm not saying that that's where I want to go now, but I'd like to see the numbers that at least at 18, which they're saying is well within reason for a class, that let's see where that would put us, because I mean there's only so much paper we buy, and we're not going to save any $2 million doing that. And like you're saying, even if we use half of the fund balance, next year is really going to be a murder. And if we already have looked at what we could do, then we have an idea for next time. So, and I think the other thing I think, and I don't mean to pick on elementary. I think the cost needs to be shared across elementary, middle, and high school. Yes. I don't want to see all the cuts in just in elementary. And I know that's what I've focused on because we have a lot of elementary classes that we need to look at. Class size everywhere. That's all.
Okay, this, and Mary, please jump in here if I'm not real misquoting this. If you look at that property tax report card that you have, this is kind of worse than I think you guys are actually thinking and looking at. The only way to make the tax levy flat for this year is to put $7,971,000 in the reserve fund. That's going to leave us $3.5 million in the hole. So that's is that correct? It's $3.5 million in cuts we need to make in order to make that flat. If that's what you want to do for that's if you use every penny of your reserve fund, which I think we all pretty much realize we can't do that. We'll sink next year if we do that. And if you go down the proposal B and then C and D and proposal, the last proposal, the second D, $3,971,000, we need to look for $4 million in cuts. That's if we raise the tax rate to 1868. Am I saying that right, Mayor? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is, we're talking about major, major, major cuts here. So what I think the superintendent and the business manager are looking for are some figures from us tonight, some solid figures as to what can we live with, what do we think as a board we can live with as putting in from our reserve fund, what do we think as a board we can live with for a tax increase, and it's going to be up to them to come up with the $3 million or the $4 million in cuts.
I don't think we should give more than half of our fund balance. I'll go half, but I don't want to go any more than that.
Mary, am I reading this right on the last one, the $3,971,000? If we put that in, that would leave us $426,000 in our reserve fund? Is that what that?
Yes. But if you flip back, just for a moment, flip okay. back to your revenues, which was your tab 3. The proposed revenue budget, and the second page of that, I just want to revisit where we are right now, where we are this year, remind everybody that we already used 2.75 of fund balance in this year's budget, or did this last year while the audit was going on, of that extra $5 million that the comptroller wrote about. The board used 2.7 of that to balance the current year and reduce the tax rate last year. So when everybody kind of starts at 7.1, we're not there. We're already down to 4.1 4.3. And that's, if you look at the bottom of that page, that second page, that first column, 6/30/2010, mm-hmm. June 30th, that's where we started. What we were allowed to have was 1.4. What we had was 7.1, the difference being the extra 5.6. Of that 5.6, we applied 2.7 to this year. So where we're forecasting to end this year, which I'm trying to estimate, where are we going to be in June 30th? How much revenue is still going to come in? How much expenditures are going out? To tell you, we've used the 2.7, we've used 2. I just don't know where that number is going to be yet. So that's a little flexible right now, but you're starting the year with 4.4. So when I hear you say, okay, you can use half of it, that's half of 4.4. That's 2.2 is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
If I understand this correctly, not half of last year's balance because you already spent
the
half 2.75 of that.
2.75 hasn't been spent yet. It's just there.
No, right. That's in this year's budget. Yeah. That's being spent
that's
right now.
2.75.
I know, but we haven't really spent it though. It's there. We've committed it.
We've committed it into it. That's where we're.
So you have to consider that spent.
Yes, I do. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
But if we used half of the fund balance, what percentage would that leave us in the bank? Are we going to come anywhere closer where they want us to be?
4.4 in fund balance. So if you're going to use half, you're using 2.2, that leave you 2.2.
Well, we're allowed for it.
You're not allowed.
No, they're allowed a million and a half or something like that.
It's going to be a little bit more than 4%, 2.2.
But it puts us closer where they want, a lot closer where they want us.
But then again, you also have to realize that's all you have to apply next year.
Can
I ask Mary another question?
Yes, please.
Steve?
Hang on, Karen, just a second.
We had talked about our cutoff for purchase orders around March 1st. Is that something?
March 31st.
Yep. Can we move it up?
Superintendent just moved it up this morning, today.
All right. Good move. I mean, except for, you know, our contractual, like, heat and fuel, I think if whatever we could save, I mean, if it really isn't, if they can get out without
right.
it.
That was a suggestion that Mrs. Armstrong had sent, as well as I want you to not use, save as much of that 2.75 out of this year as you can possibly save in the next 4 months and not spend it. So.
Okay, thank you.
That,
yep. Go ahead, Karen.
Did that today.
In our handouts, can you share with me if we put 2.2 million, and I don't know what. I probably have it in my email, but I'm sorry, I neglected to print that out. But does it tell us what our estimated tax increase would be, let's say on tonight's budget, or I don't know what your predictions are. I just want to get a feel for what 2.2 million against the fund balance is going to hurt, I'm afraid. Meaning it's a good thing, but I don't think it's enough.
That would take it down to like proposal C, wouldn't it? Somewhere around there.
No, I think it's past B. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that's going to take us because we're still not talking about. I need an expenditure number. I need that budget number, which is still moving. So
okay.
We have multiple scenarios that we just came in with. Right now we're showing on that budget. Well, when we came in, we had cut 300 and something off. We were already showing that budget to budget
378,
increase.
378, 379.
Yep.
Come back. Off of the print that was
brought
down earlier. So
right.
The current.
Off from the one we got.
Yes.
The other night.
Yes. So it's up to about 800 total. And add the two reduction.
Our budget to budget increase was 3.4. So if we're taking 378 off that, we'll say it's at 3 million. And I had already counted on using the 2.7 because that's keeping it. Remember, if you use that last year to balance the budget, I've got to start with that. And what you're saying is, no, you're pulling me back, and you're saying you're only getting 2.2, not 2.7. So
we can't do that.
No. I'm saying the 2.2 is already spent. 2.7 is and we're going to add 2.2.
It would have to be. Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
2.7
what we
plus
got left.
2.2.
What would that do?
That would leave us 2.2 in reserve.
Be in the negative. You're starting the year with 4.
We'd still be in the negative.
You're going to be in the net. You're not going to have a fund balance. We'll be in a red.
Oh, because
You're starting the year with four.
Four behind.
Right.
No, four.
Okay, yeah. So
at your fund balance.
At the 4 million, he's saying if you use two of that,
where
are those figures going to put us at?
I want to share with you, okay? I don't want to rain on our parade, but I think if all of us are on the same playing field, we're going to understand the situation that we're in. I think we all do. But in just rough numbers, again, using this budget that came to us in our packet, if we had $3,985,000, or let's say close to $4 million of fund balance to put against that, and retaining, just for computation purposes, the assessed value of the credit, our tax rate will increase $3.77 per thousand.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
That's reality.
That's and those are the type of questions we need to answer tonight. What are we willing to live with, and we can give them some figures so they can do what has to be done.
That only leaves 1% in fund balance.
Mary, can you clarify for me, is the $4 million above the 4%, or was that everything?
That's everything.
That's everything, okay.
Right, it's not taking out the 4% that the state allows.
Oh, okay.
Because everything's starting, where we ended the year last year with the audit, June 30th, we were at $7.1 million. Of the 7.1, 1.4 was the 4% level, and the difference, the 5.6, was the excess that was sitting there. That was in our total 7.1 last year, or where we started this year on July 1st. And in this year's budget, we reduced last year's tax rate by using 2.75 of that 7 million. So we already had dropped it down to the $4 million level.
I guess at this point, I just like, if it's okay, Steve, I'd just like to speak for myself.
Go ahead, Karen.
I think what we're looking at is so complex, and we have to weigh, I'm going to say now the administration is going to have to weigh what type of a budget we bring forward together. Maybe we do this, but I don't see how we can answer this tonight with a magic number. But we're going to have to come out of this with a budget and a tax rate that the taxpayers are going to agree to, because if they don't, then the law dictates what's to be cut from the budget. So I don't know what to say other than I was hoping we could at least keep half of our fund balance to help us with next year. But I don't know. Do we use more of it and plan for next year so we have a longer time frame that after this budget process we get through it, we immediately start on our planning process for the next budget season? I don't know.
Kathy?
I would actually like some more information before I would want to use more of the remaining fund balance. I would actually like a five-year projection of things like fringe benefits and salary increases. I would actually like information on like a projection of insurance costs to make sure that that's something we could afford. And also teachers' retirement systems and employee retirement systems and what that looks like 3 to 5 years down the road before we use up all our reserve.
The other thing that I'm really cognizant about is the fact that we've really been bashed in the paper for having above what we're supposed to have in our account. And if we leave anything above the 4% in there, and we raise the taxes, we're going to get murdered. Mm-hmm. So my point is, if that's where the state wants us to be at 4%, and that's what they want, why don't we use what we have to get it, bring us down to 4%, and then we'll look at what we have to cut to get us there.
Well, the one issue with that is that the scenario here with 1% puts us at only almost net nothing in the fund balance. To get to the half the fund balance, as Karen mentioned, that means that our 1546 tax rate is going to have to go up by 33% to almost 20.
Yeah.
Is that about right?
I don't follow. When you were at the 1%, that was 1868.
Right,
so that's
18.
$3.20.
Yeah, but that only leaves us less than half a million in fund balance, right?
Correct.
Right.
So to follow what Karen suggested, to keep about 2 million in fund balance, that means that we have to have that much more.
You're right.
And that scenario is nowhere. We don't even have a scenario that approaches the 4% state allowed in here. And so maybe we need to consider that. But to your point, jumping from 1546 to over 20 is not going to be received. Even if it makes sense, the public will not understand that.
That's what I'm saying.
I have a job of explaining this?
They're going to say that you've got more than you're supposed to have using. That's what they're going to say.
Right.
So, and I understand 4% is very little operating room, and I understand that. But after all the hype we've had, the people I think we're taking their money and keeping it and putting it in little piles and saving it.
Well, it's up to us also to educate the public. We've done tried to do a decent job of doing that, but clearly we need to do a better job. I don't know what that means. Anyway, I don't know, Karen. I don't. It doesn't look like trying to get to having about 2 million in the fund balance is going to happen. I don't know what you guys think. The only way that could happen is if you can cut 6 million out of the budget.
Yeah, that's why I'm suggesting maybe it's I feel it's the wrong thing to do, but do as much as we can this year with the fund balance and do our planning for the next year. We have such a short time frame right now to make all of this happen. It concerns me. And I want to share with the board that the state of New York sent out a survey to us to respond to about the state audit. And I did share my feelings rather bluntly with them, and I don't know if it will affect us in the future, but it was a little bit, I feel the state is taking the heat off of them, and I asked them about their fund balance, and I also have freedom of information how to get at that, which I know the answer to it. Sometimes you know the answer, you ask the questions anyway. I was trying to drive a point home that they criticized us for having some fund balance that we critically need right now. And then it's out in the public like we have done something we shouldn't have done, when in reality we were cushioning or saving is a better word for our future. And now we're in this tight situation. Where would we be if we had no fund balance?
Close it down.
We'd be in the same position that a lot of the other schools were in last year and again this year. And that's why I've been saying right along, we're shooting ourselves in the foot. One of the things that I think we have to be very careful of is we use all of our fund balance or as much as we dare to this year. Where's that source going to come from next year? You have no source if we do that. That's doubling the amount of money we have to come up with next year on the budget before we even start. I mean, you're already putting yourself in deeper. So, you know,
I think we have to plan for what we're going to have to do, though.
Well, what we need to plan is we need to make some awful hard cuts now. We have to look at every penny in every category we can possibly find. And if we don't, I mean, we can throw the money in here and make the budget look pretty good, but if we don't reduce this budget, and it's going to be painful. I've said that right along. It's not an easy job. But if we don't reduce this budget, we're going to be in a situation where you're going to cut half your staff next year because you won't have anything left to cut. So I don't think we're giving our students the best, and I'm willing to stand up in front of the public and let them throw stones at me. They have in the past. So,
some of them hit, too.
I wasn't very good at dodging then, and I probably am a little slower now, but if we, you know, I can defend keeping some of that and explain the reason why I'm willing to keep some of that. So, you know, it's a two-edged sword.
Well, first of all, I want to say when I got this budget proposal, I was very disappointed in seeing what I seen there. This meeting here I asked for so that we could get some substantial input, and I think we just went the opposite direction. I'm throw stones at anybody because I don't know where the blame was. Maybe where to blame, I don't know. But I did say from the beginning, Stan said from the beginning, do the cutting where you need to cut. And just for one instance right here, on page 14, I'm seeing two boxes for $52,000. How can that still be in there when we're trying to cut? We don't need two boxes.
It's not even, that's what changed. Yeah, and yours is.
Yeah, that's,
this was the,
that's 300
changed today.
The 379 has been changed, so. Is that
I
one
hope,
of the ones
I hope all other areas that concern things like that are gone.
I can, that's where, that's the spirit in which the $378,000 additional dollars reduced. I didn't want to go into each of the items, and I won't because there's too many of them, but that one I recall specifically, we've already reduced that. That's in this pile. We looked at, I'll give you categories, but it wasn't clear enough originally. Categories such as conference money, gone. Travel to conferences, gone. Anywhere where it's not directly connected to a contract that requires the funding for it, and or the program can't exist without some supplies to support it. With those kinds of exceptions, only with those kinds of exceptions, all the every other line item has been gone through and reduced, if not eliminated, from not just last year's to this year's level, but beyond that. That's where it's $379,000 of cuts, in addition to the original four, or something.
Which doesn't do a lot for us additionally. Go ahead and finish, Larry.
Okay, well, the other thing I would like to go on a little bit further, what Stan said, it's not just in this county or the local counties here. Across the state, across the nation, administrators, superintendents, teachers, non-teaching staff, they've all turned down their raises. I am asking, as a board member, I hope that these people consider that this year, because we are in a hurt. If we don't have that there, we're going to lose a lot of people. You're going to see people in your building not here next year. Because that's the only choice, if I consider, that we're going to have. And I really don't want to see that happen.
Okay.
So, just to clarify, because there are people in public don't have the sheet. So our budget for last year, this year, was 37 million and a half. And so the new one's about 41. So if you break down that increase in budget, what is the percent meat of that increase? What is the majority of that increase in budget?
I have to look at the charts that we published.
Those are all mandatory.
Yeah, that's where it's coming. If you, right. Yeah, we can bring more to that. I'm just finding it.
But that is it.
That's the chart.
So,
$3,787,000.
I'm trying to get to a point here. So, a big part of this, 44% of this, is CSE increases.
Million seven.
OC's cost increase. And then the next biggest chunk is the collective bargaining wage increase.
That's the entire organization.
Yeah. 22%. Those are the two big ones. So, leaving the bargaining wage aside, what can we do about the BOCES, the CSE increase?
You mean within the CSE increases already can more be found?
There's a different way to look at it. We're going to have like 21 new students, and there's going to be a cost. Are you going to say, can you get that cost down? Because it's mandated by law what you give them.
Right, I understand that.
So, but I'm saying I think that's the way to look at it. Those 21, is there another way to do it?
Right.
This is mandatory stuff that we have to
do. Yeah. Where, just quick review of the chart again, fuel oil and propane increases $336,000,
right.
Which represents the 9% of the total increase, from last year to this year. Mm-hmm. That's what we started with. $134,000 increase in transportation non-wages. That's not people. That's cost of the buses and money.
Right.
The increase. You said CSC, we already covered, but again, that's 44% of the increase is devoted to services necessary for students identified with IEPs located in residential facilities, with the increases that came with that.
I have 26 increase this year.
26 new students.
And of those, when they transferred in, 14 of them were currently in CVS, one was in a residential placement.
So we incur those costs because their IEP come with them when they become our students.
I understand that, but Mr. What I'm trying to ask is, in your organization, is there a more efficient way to use the funds? Or just because this is the status quo that the state presents, is there a way that you feel there's actually a bigger benefit for us? I mean, you talk about BOCES being a participant in our education program, but it doesn't mean that we can't bring something in-house and be more cost-effective.
And I agree, and I've looked at that, and we've done in different places where we can, and we have more to look at. Currently, I've merged two classrooms at Cumberland Head. We've expanded. You have to understand, though, when it comes to students, I only have a three-year age span. So I have a certain number I have to look at for a break to make it worth our while.
Sure.
I know that sounds terrible
to look at it that way,
but otherwise it costs more money. If I have two students, it's cheaper for me to buy CVS than to run it efficiently here.
Exactly.
So I have to look at all those pieces. So I have combined, and they will know that soon, and that position is moving to where I have a bubble. BOCES, their 611 autism classroom has gone up to over 50,000. They must have an aide, so it's 80,000 per child. So I was able to, we had a new kid move in from the district in that category. I have three coming in from preschool. I am hoping, because I've combined those two rooms at the Cumberland Head, I'll be able to put a new classroom there. And I've talked to Mrs. Fox, we've worked on that. The other problem is space. We don't have a lot of space here. So as much as I'd like to do this, I have no place to put the students at this point, which is difficult, but I do have all those things I have to watch. And a lot of the increases in this, I just want people to understand, would be, one is the government, and it's still in hold, but they're making us, usually we pay maintenance, which is room and board on the residential, we pay 20%. They're now requiring us to pay the whole deal. And that's where you see a huge bubble of that. That's not something I did. And the other thing is, I haven't put any new students in residential this year. We have one pending I'm trying to hold off on, to find different options for this young man. But unfortunately, the court system has put two of our children in residential. I did not put them there. They were fine in our school setting, but due to things that happened outside of school, and unfortunately, that comes back and we eat the cost.
We've gone from 2.15 FTEs in residential settings to right now we're at 7, with maybe one goes back, maybe not, we don't know, but I mean, and those are,
they're huge ticket items, I have to be honest with you. They're massive costs. And when one moved in a residential situation, my hands were absolutely tied. And this bit about the court, I don't have an answer yet. I've called State Ed a couple times. There has to be a flooding mechanism. I mean, this is just craziness. Their educational programs are fine. There were no issues. The issues were outside of school, but yet it comes back to us. So that's where a lot of my costs are, I'll be really honest. That's close to over $1 million.
So is there anything that we can do legally to try to gain some control back?
I am working on that. As I said, I've proposed a new classroom. Mrs. Fox has agreed to that room, and I'm looking for more space. And I have my teachers out right now looking at 5 students as possible that I can absorb in existing programs. I have another one working on bringing 8 back for a high school program, but you have to understand, I can't put them on the roof. I've got to have a spot for my kids. And then the other thing is 26 new kids in a year. I mean, my people are limping along. I mean, they are doing a great job with overloaded rooms that I have to write variances for, and they've never complained once this year.
The governor, in the governor's budget, kind of a summary to that last piece that you asked, Mr. Barron, the opportunity for the flexibility that we would otherwise and always try to seek has been tightened even tighter because, as Mr. Short pointed out, there's approximately $400,000 of state aid, state responsibility in last year's budget that, with nothing else changing, with no new students, became $400,000 of our responsibility as a district this year. That's in his budget. Mm-hmm. Now, could that change? You're asking what can be done. massive amount of lobbying is being done from every organization I can think of connected to education, Teachers Association, Superintendents Association, School Boards Association, Principals Association, everybody connected to education has their groups at home and literally daily trying to pound away at the legislators to point out the impacts across the state that some of these proposals in his current budget will have. The cost in special education that we referenced in the charts, $400,000 of it is just that one move. Those are the efforts, if you will. I will say that at the same time, we look in special education in particular, we constantly look for ways in which we might be able to bring services back. They're contingent upon, as Mr. Sherman eloquently just pointed out, the range of ages means, is it cost effective to have two students and call them in our house and pay more or keep that service at BOCES? But there comes a point when the lines cross and it makes sense to buy back the program, save some costs, and conduct the business in-house. And quite frankly, that's a philosophy anyway that we're very interested in. They're not any, you know, they're all our children.
Right.
They happen to be getting services at a different location, but sometimes that gets muted in dialogue. And well, they are our children.
It sounds like you've done, you know, good job of trying to look at all the avenues. Not to belabor the point, is there anything that we as a board can do to help you out that you may be tied that we are not aware of?
Right now I'm looking at bringing some more. As I said, we're doing some research. I have someone looking at job placements for careers piece to bring back, but it really is a space issue. I just don't have any spots.
I would actually like to support Mr. Levine's request for really investigating K-1 and 2 at Cumberland Head and 345 in our main buildings. If that is a space creator, that might give us an opportunity to bring more children back and actually utilize our wonderful staff versus paying another school for
it. That's a good point.
Hopefully our new busing system.
The only thing I'd be concerned with?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'd be concerned with, because you mentioned it earlier, is when you squeeze the bubble on one side and it pops up somewhere else, and with elementary education, if you end up, my concern would be if you cut teachers, then are you end up populating support staff more anyway, because you don't give the kids the required attention. Then that means you have to individually take them and give them more AIS support. So take it out of here, it might pop up over here.
Yeah, but that's what I was talking about before, because I was going to ask Leanne how that would help her, and I will in a second. But why I said what I did was, well, they told us if we combined it, we'd save 7 personnel. I don't believe that, just because of that.
Right.
We might save a few. But what I think it does, it opens up a lot more options for Leanne, because now you don't have the class here and the class there, and you got two teachers.
Sure.
I mean, if you have 14, 14, 14, whatever, then you bring them all together, then 18 out of 5 classes is 4 classes. And that's what I was looking at. Support staff has to look at also. But my question would be, would that actually help you if we did that?
It would give me more flexibility, because right now I run mirror programs at each place. I kind of have to, for the most part. And then what I could do is I could group kids, and I would be able to have, instead of having 3 grade level spans, because if you think about it, a special ed teacher has 15 students, and they have 3 grade levels to teach, and they're all individual.
Sure.
When a typical elementary teacher would have 15 kids with 1 curriculum. So this would allow me to shorten the grade levels as well and probably beef up my numbers a bit. I would have to be specific, but there's some potential there to be looked at.
What about adding space? Okay. Would it pay for itself?
We can't add space. We're too far below the limit. State wouldn't let us. But so what I'm saying is, if you're like at 80% or 85% of capacity, state isn't going to let you build and give you aid when you've got 15% capacity left. So I'm saying that's why we try to combine, because they're not going to build unwanted. Like for saying, most schools' population is going to go down. It's been going down steadily. And if we're not at close to max, how are you going to justify building?
If we're not close,
because of class size. you have 14 in class and 18, that affects your total numbers. But even though there's a class there, it's not at the max occupational, the max you could put in. That's what the state looks at. They're saying, this is, you could take 2,000 kids, you got 1,600. Yep. You're not building.
Yeah. Okay, Stan, go ahead.
I don't mean to throw rocks at that proposal. That's a really nice idea. But the state also has a law that to have special education in your building, it has to be a mainstream building. Mm-hmm. And it has to be an elementary setting if it's elementary. And there is a rule about how many classes you have to have. So the board should understand you can't just move all this, too many of those rooms out to make more rooms because you may fall underneath the canopy of...
Plattsburgh doesn't. Plattsburgh, all their buildings like that.
They have their classes mixed into their elementary classes. They don't have a building of special education. It's not...
Well, I don't want a building of special education. I'm saying if you put K-1, 2 in that building, then your special ed for K-1, 2 isn't duplicated.
Yes, but what I'm saying is there still has to be a threshold of students.
Yeah, isn't a percentage of typical versus a yes. percentage of special ed?
So K-1, 2 may not be balance. Enough to substantiate the amount. So
no.
I'm just saying that's just... Well, the board needs to understand to at, that's yeah. a possibility that could.
But that's why we're going to look into it to see what we can
right,
do.
Right.
And if it comes back and doesn't save you any money, well, then you don't do it.
Right.
Okay, something else we have not addressed tonight, really. It was put in our proposal. We discussed it briefly at the last meeting, is using the EduJobs money for early retirements and how much, if you're in favor of that, how much are you willing to offer?
Can I ask a quick question? The number that was quoted, the 487,000, did that include the monitors that we hired? Or is that the payment for the monitors are supposed to be out of that EduFund? With that 87,000, did you take out there?
The original EduJobs money did not have the most recent. Answer your question, we amended the grant
okay.
to take out the monitors. So it's not 483
okay.
anymore, but it's...
It started with 487. There was 3,598 tagged for school monitors from
right.
okay.
3 o'clock to 5 o'clock from now to the end of the year. So
right.
that 3,598 of EduJobs is being used right now this okay. year for the board's
But it's 3,500 of
approval.
Okay.
Okay.
483.
Okay. And
so
the
difference
the,
is what's
so
still
that's 3,500 each.
No.
No. Total.
That's
the total.
And
the
so year. Next year
so
would be approximately because they're supposed to be here for 2 years. Maybe not.
Not necessarily. I mean, that's
okay.
a year-by-year decision for the board
okay.
to make. We want to monitor. Well, we want
okay.
to monitor. Did it work? What did we gain? Did we think?
Mm-hmm.
Because in part because of the of some of the good comments already made tonight. Next year's another year,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking for places to find ways to save dollars again next year. We need to know that this
mm-hmm.
was an add-on this year. EduJobs money could pay for it,
mm-hmm.
but does it have to? And do you still want the positions? And that's coming back, not to step at all on the board president's toes a bit, but I think that's what he's asking. If EduJobs money is going to go for purposes other than staffing new people, that was why I put it in as a thought. Do you want to do something with it, which could have an effect on perhaps inviting some staff members who might find it to be advantageous to say, I would take that amount for my early retirement. We'd be able to compute what that salary, the salary, not the benefits, but the salary part would be.
Mm-hmm.
Then the question we would take into our work is, what's the breakage on replacement and or need to even fill?
Okay.
Yeah. So,
Richard.
Okay, I'm for offering their incentives to go because if we're looking at $4 million, there's no other way to get there but people. And I would rather incentivize it and get rid of some people now.
Let as many
as we can go that there aren't going to be no harm, no foul before we have to look at it.
Yeah.
I go along with that as long as we're not rehiring. If we've got to refill their station, there's no.
But isn't that part of the deal that if you do it, you can't replace it?
Well, you have to see.
No.
Hey, what was that thing that said that if you had before?
There's It's and I'm coming back to your comment. It's important to remember that position to position isn't what happens when you make a reduction to retirement and a replacement. Somewhere in the process is going to be movement of people out of jobs that they're currently in.
Yes.
At the end of the line, there may not be a need to.
But that's why I'm saying, as long as there's movement inside and we're not hiring at the end of the line, I'd be in favor of it.
Okay. You may have position. To move at the end of the line.
Yeah, you may have no choice.
You may have no choice because of the class size. I mean, if it's a high school position as compared to an elementary, you may have no choice at the end of that. And then you have to go with what the break is.
If we're forced into it, that's a different situation.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's
well, now, yeah, there is one exception. I still want to see the driver ed class still filled. I do want to see that filled.
Okay, that's
I think that's in the budget. Thing.
If that's the wishes of the whole board.
That has not currently been deducted out of this number, in case you were going to wonder that question. Those breakages.
Steve, could I ask a question?
Go ahead, Karen.
My question is, does this grant allow us to support our existing staff, or do you have to do new hires?
It can be used to save jobs. It can be used to pay wages to save jobs.
In effect.
And my other question.
In effect, carrying 1 year because it dries up in a year.
Okay. And my other question is, I know that we have done some analysis as a district, but is there any chance that more people would step to the plate to retire than we have anticipated? Can it turn around and be negative to us is what I'm trying to ask you.
Boy, I was good until you asked that last part. yes, my estimate would be in working and just talking with the various bargaining units on what do you think, as it were. We think there would be in a little bit higher numbers than what I projected in the original document. But what will depend, what will affect that are lots of variables. But the most immediate one would be how much is the buyout? Individual who is eligible to retire, as an example, and I don't want to speak for anybody who that is or that might be, but an individual who's eligible to retire but chooses not to might in fact has already crossed the bridge of saying I want to come back. Well, how much is the buyout to change that thinking is one part of their decision process. Then you move into a whole nother level, which is people, a person or persons who are a year away from retirement. And what they have to figure out is what is their loss, if you will, of penalty by retiring early and taking a buyout. What's the amount of money that would be important to them to say, I'll be that person. So there's a lot of variables that move into the picture, but it starts with the amount to offer per person as a buyout.
And I'll cloud the issue just once more, if I could. What will happen if the state of New York decides to offer a retirement incentive to in effect, have more... I'm trying to remember whether they write into the documentation that a person can't take advantage of two incentives. Do you correct. Recall?
Yes. That was done, that's correct. Yes. That was done earlier in this state as well as others. So the uncertainty, quite frankly, that's one of the uncertainties I think that lots of people are looking, a lot of school officials are looking at and kind of wondering when does the governor, he's got 2 weeks, if we're going to have an on-time budget, when does the governor, if the governor is interested in doing that, when does he unveil that possibility of a state early retirement plan? In which case, perhaps our district and many others, there will be a change in those numbers of who takes advantage of them. But we don't know that now. There hasn't been from my blogs with the folks that I mentioned earlier who do all the lobbying in Albany, there hasn't been any rippling of the water on whether he has that in his back pocket as an option or not. No one seems to know if that's going to surface.
Thank you.
I understand what she's saying, but my next question would be this. If we could use all that money off the people retired, could you use money from the general fund to fund it? Because here's my point. Say you offered $15,000, and someone who's making $70,000 plus benefits will go. To me, it would still be in our best interest to come up with the $15,000 to take that off our rolls, even though it might not be EduJobs money. That would be my question. Could you do it that way?
Can I respond?
Please.
Brad, I'm thinking that after we get through this process, we are going to have cut so much from our budget, whether it's total this year, next year, or both years, that I think that's why I asked the question. I want to make certain we didn't run out of money before we ran out of incentives. Because I don't think we're going to have the money in our budget to float these kinds of things. I don't think we would go over it, but I wanted to ask the question.
Right. Pauline?
Okay, two things. First of all, see, if we use the EDU money for incentives and someone retires making $70,000 plus benefits, even if you have to hire somebody, you're hiring at, what, 30? So you're gaining 40, money, 30, 40. 40. All right, you're still gaining 20,000, you know, even one or two at that rate. And the second thing, when you were looking at cutting, I don't know how contracts go, I don't know how they go, but what about not buying 4 new buses every year? Would that be an option? At this year, what do we spend, $400,000+ on 4 new buses? I don't know how the contracts run. I don't know how the process goes.
You can buy as many as you want whenever. You can delay it.
No, yeah, that's what I mean.
Later on, you're going to buy more than four.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So how long would you kick it back would be the call.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Would it be worth it? Would it be something to look into?
It's amortized over the period of time when you pay that van back for those bus purchases. So it's not, even though it's approved to spend $400,000 for buses, there's not a minus $400,000 in the budget anywhere. It's only the amortized piece of what we're going to pay in debt for the next year. We get state aid revenue back on that for a significant percentage.
Right, it's somewhere around 80%. But they pay that back over 15 years.
I don't know if we can come up with the amount tonight, or we can, you know. We come up with it. But I prefer, again, to send this back to the group and take a good look at this on breakages, on how many people this might include, how much money we have to offer, because the more people, the less money. Whether or not, take a look at where those people might come from, where their salaries are, how much they're going to lose, so that we can come up with a figure that's, how can you do that tonight? We don't have enough information. You know, I could probably say, okay, everybody, $10,000 extra.
Yeah.
Somebody sitting there say, what is that stupid board member thinking? $10,000, by the time I lose this, I'm still losing $2,000 trying to go. So, I mean, I think we need to turn that back, and if that can be something that can be come up as a figure and emailed to us and say, this is a pretty close, what do you think? I know what you mean by ballpark to get the ball started?
Yeah,
Wow, where do you start?
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. All that stuff will have to be figured out after we come up with some kind of a how much of the reserve fund would we like to spend. That I think we need to let the administrator know how much of the reserve fund are we willing to spend this year. How much are we willing to live with the tax rate going up? $1, $1.50. That gives them somewhere to come back and say this is what's going to get
the edu money.
No. That we've got to give them some type of ballpark figures to go back and work with and come back and say, this is what we need to cut here, this is what we need to cut out of personnel. The only way to get to that figure.
I've already given that to you.
So I think what we need, I mean, we can, I'm not stopping the discussion, I'm just saying somewhere tonight we need to give them how much do we want to spend out of the reserve fund and what are we willing to live with as a tax increase. Richard?
I think the other thing you have to look at, I understand what Stan's saying, and the number's great. We're talking a lot of money here. If you want to save $1 million, you probably look at 15 or 16 positions. So when you're shooting at that number, you got to understand, we can't do it without people going. There's no way in hell it's ever going to happen.
Yes.
So my point is, not only do you give them a number, you have to say, are we willing to take that kind of draconian approach and say, we got to lose, because if you're telling him he's got to lose $2 million off the budget, you're talking bodies. And I mean, just a number doesn't do it for me. I'm saying, you know, cut it $2 million and all of a sudden, you know.
That's what I mean. We need to give him a figure so he can come back at the next meeting and say, this is what the impact of that
is. What I'm saying is, but just look at least 15 people probably up for a mill.
I don't know. That's what we need to give them so they can tell us. This is, you're saying $2 million, you're going to spend this much of your reserve.
Yeah.
You want to cut $2 million? This is what it's going to take to do that.
Yeah, but you know, paper and pencils don't equal what people make.
No.
And that's what I'm saying. And they pretty well butchered that down.
Yep.
To, we're probably going to run out. And there's nothing else but. So what I'm saying is, it's nice to say we'd like to live with last year's budget. But then you look at it, I'd hate to be the one to have to take that many bodies out to balance a budget and try to educate people.
I agree with you.
Well, why don't we just go around the tables and each one of us have a chance to come up with a general idea. Because they need a starting point.
Okay. Before we do that, is there any way we could ask Mr. Amo to give us his input on this? I mean, he's done budgets for how many years? Do you have an opinion, or do you have a...
The conversation is great. I mean, there is no getting around the differential between a lost state aid, increased costs borne by the school district, and the governor's proposals. Those variables are what they are. That's an increased cost for some services, special education being one, is where the $3 million plus starts from. So to get to a levy that the board feels, and tax rate that the board feels it wishes to support the administration in selling to the public, presenting to the public, and defending to the public, will require cuts that aren't going to be found in paper clips and pens. How many? It's going to, in part, what the board president is seeking is, it's going to depend, in part, what your target is. And I interpret target to be just a directional, not a finite number.
Right.
And so if we're thinking about a directional target of increased reductions, I can come back with positions that equate to that target. And the board can then begin its conversation as, is that target and those positions matched up to your desired? If it's short, you're going to say that. If it's above, you're going to probably say that too. I can tell you, as you know from the first draft I sent, that there is, as identified, the potential of $1.2 million in about 16, 17 positions. And they're not all in one department, they're not all teachers, they're not all anybody. They're everything that we've already analyzed, anticipating that if it's the board's desire to get closer to a different target than the one you've been presented with tonight, that's going to be that kind of numbering. So I can't say it's one quarter more gets four more. I can't say twice as many is twice as many, but you're getting the idea. Your comment was pretty close, that it's going to be additional people to get to millions more.
So, well, then I guess I'll start. I guess the number, I'm not going to give a finite number. What I'd like to say, if we ran our class, like elementary classes, to 18, where would that put us? You might be looking, I'm going to say, I don't want to say I want to cut $3 million, but if we go up to average class size around 18, you know, you try to keep it not much above it, just from where we are to 18, where would that get us? And can we live with that?
In the packet you have, we're already there. We're already past that.
You passed 18 o'clock?
The contract language.
Oh, you mean the ones you offered. Okay, so you already did that run?
That's where some of those positions are found. If A quick reminder, in the contract language, there is a specified range. We've talked about this before, of a minimum range and a maximum range that is contractually what we always shoot for. If we do everything necessary to get to one of those 2 points, there, meaning a minimum across the board, if you will, there will be reductions. And if we go to the maximum range, I haven't done that kind of analysis yet, but it stands to reason. If there's some at the minimum range, there may be somewhere in the district 1 or 2 more on a maximum range. But that's just following contract language. It doesn't talk about pedagogy.
Yeah.
It doesn't talk about effect. It just says numbers.
So that you said that's 1.2?
Yeah.
What would you like to leave in your reserve fund? I know you said...
I don't want to go below 4%. 2 million. I want at least 4%, but I don't want to go below 2 million if I can help it.
So, okay, let's say 2 million.
That's about half.
Do you have an opinion on the tax rate, how much you would be willing to see it go up or down? Or, I mean, how
to... Well, yeah, my point is, though, to me, if we take the 2 and we can save the 1.2, I'd like to see where that drops us without going any farther.
But I mean...
I can't get those numbers in my head.
Yeah, I know you can't. Here's where I'm going. We've been on the board for quite a while. Historically, we've seen what this district will normally allow us. We've had a budget that's gone down
in
our term. And it wasn't very much of a tax increase that got shot down.
I know.
So I guess what I'm getting at is, I mean, $1, $1.50? I don't know.
Can I ask, if we took $2 million from the reserve and put it on the budget, and we saved the $1.2 million he was talking about, where would that put us at the rate? So say the 1.2.
Figured out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, to me, that's reasonable. That you're still within language, you know, with the contracts, you know, without doing them, and you're taking half. Where would that put us? And then can you give me that rate?
Can you retro in?
Well, right now, but the gap right now is 7. I can't remember. Let me just flip to the page. The last page, the increase in the budget. Okay, right now the gap is 7.9. Before these changes today, so there's another, say, 400,000, 387. So 7.9 and minus 4 today. And there's 1.2 that Mr. Abel has worked up that's not shared in the details, just approximate number of people. And then you want to say 2. So let me just see where you are.
That's why I don't want to say it.
You're down to 7.5, and you're down to 3.63, minus 2. There's still a $4.3 million gap.
It's.
Don't forget, you have a decrease in revenues happening at the same time,
right.
And you use this year $2.7 million of fund balance. So
then, if it's that deep, I gotta say that you take our fund balance down to our 4%. I have to say that.
We got it. Well, I don't think the 4% is not going to be much different than $2 million.
Oh, is the 2?
Yeah,
it's going to be pretty close.
Can we get that adjustment in personnel that you have included in here?
Positions.
It's in your narrative.
Yeah. The positions.
Can we see a breakdown of that in detail?
Can do it. By positions. Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about by position, right?
I
just want to see where all the cuts are happening.
Yep.
Okay. And we should be aware of
what's happening. Proposed.
Exactly. I don't want to just, you know, swing the sword and start cutting without everybody being exactly aware of where they're happening.
And the other part, was that including the fact that we were to cut, you know, like put classes over there, like K-2, is that included in that?
No. I mean, that the reference obviously is to the study that was done last year relative to whether or not there was cost effective or space effective to create a one building K-2 building and for all students, and the other building a 3-5 building.
Yeah.
That study was done. You know the results of it. The capacities for the buildings to do that was there. It is there. But there also is under capacity with the rules that we're operating under. We haven't maxed out where we are in each building now.
So the consultant's conclusion on that point was there's still room for growth in those two buildings if that was your primary reason for asking, should we do a K-2, 3-5 building? That wasn't our primary, it was our primary question then. It may be a different question now.
I don't think we have a choice because the numbers, that we is, have to look at that too.
There is consolidation of costs in special education as an example. If one building is a K-2 building and another building is the 3-5 building, the special education costs can be factored out differently because of those spans. Versus some in all five grades with low numbers, but they still need people.
Sure.
So that's an example of some of the breakage. That, to be considered, I certainly will be asking for a lot of help with our community to even pursue that, because what we haven't factored into it, and Shane stepped out for a moment, probably figured this is a good spot. What we haven't computed into that move is what would the additional transportation cost be?
Right.
All we worked on is the value of it, the room sizes, the size of the population, the economy of scale, as it were, but we never factored in what the additional cost for new buses would be to accommodate the double buses.
But the one thing we did talk about, though, was saying that, say you were going to save seven people, well, maybe with the transportation, you're only saving five total, but there's still got to be some savings. That was the whole part. But right. If it comes back and it's a zero savings, well, then it's a no-brainer. We don't do it. But I'm saying that even doing that 1.2 cut doesn't even bring us close. So we have to look at that also. But I'm saying I really don't want to go more than $2 million.
All right. Karen, I know you don't want to commit, but you got any figures in mind?
Yes. I'm going to say a couple things, okay? As a board member, before I would weigh in on consolidating or our classes in one building or the other, I think we need to look one more year into the future to see what next year, what situation we may be in, that any decisions we make are the right decisions for next year also. But to weigh in, Steve, I guess I'm just going to provide some guidance. If the taxpayers do not approve the budget from the computations I used and using the current assessed value, the tax rate will still increase 1.05 on a contingency budget. So I guess my guidance is a contingency budget from the week when I'm proceeding without cuts is going to have to be reduced $2,878,168. So my guidance to our staff is, if I were sitting in your chairs, I would look at as much as possible getting down, and then hopefully the voters will approve it, and we wouldn't have to go to contingency. But to give you a number, I don't have a number, because it is my opinion, after being aired out in the newspaper about our fund balance that we have to use now, I think our chances of passing a budget, if we have to throw a $3 tax rate on the taxes, are slim.
Karen, just for my notes again, your figure was $2 million, and I missed the rest of it.
Okay. Contingency budget, from, as I explained from the one I have in my hand right now, I think our reduction would have to be $2,878,168.48. And so I didn't have a chance to look at, you have to break it down to administrative, as you know, program and capital.
You bet.
And I didn't have time to break the fringe benefits down to those three areas, but we have to test the administrative component to make sure we're within the law there also. There may be an additional requirement for a small cut, but maybe not.
I can support it.
Karen, any idea on fund balance? Are you thinking about bringing it down to the 4%, using it all?
As I said before, I hate to use it all, but again, with the factors that we face, that's why I'm just providing guidance. I can't give a flat figure.
Gotcha.
I would hope we could have hung on to half of it, but again, because next year we're just putting off the inevitable when we give it all up, for example. But the one other comment I need to share to feel better is, before we do all the cutting in-house, I think we need look at since we buy from other organizations that may not be under the pressure that we are, because we have to get our income from our taxpayers beyond our state aid, whereas some organizations get their funding from us, from all the school districts in the area. So those services that we can do without for a year or two, maybe we have to do that rather than cutting deeply into our own staff. Thank you.
Grocery services, yeah.
That our main basically. No, the services on the coasters. That
the coasters.
Yes, and the coasters. Yeah.
Printing costs.
Right.
Some of those.
Carol?
I'm absolutely, this is my first budget, and I'm just freaking right out. I don't know. I think that's all you can do.
Okay.
287 again.
Yeah, I think that's probably okay. We're going to get into contingency. Go ahead. You happy with trying to get this down at the contingency level and see what it means?
Yeah, I'd like to go a step further, and I'm going to punch us from a simplistic manner here.
Thank you.
All right, so fundamentally, the budget for the district went up about the same amount as $600,000 less than the fund balance that we have. That's what I'm seeing. Seeing this amount here, the required increases, is $600,000 less than what we have in the fund balance. So it should net out, and that net is only puts us at a 1% fund balance, which is the concern that everybody has. So if you go a step further, that assumes that the budget, like last year, had certain expenditures. So my question is, how much better does the fund balance get if you freeze all expenditures? How will that change the percent fund balance? So in other words, everything that we spent last year in the budget that may have been nice things to have, if we cut them all other than the very, very bare necessities, how does that increase the 1% fund balance now going up?
Those discretionary expenses are a very small number.
That's what I was afraid of.
80%? That's it.
Can I make a comment, Steve?
Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
I think if I'm understanding what Ed is saying, two things that I'd like to point out. As Mary said, our revenues went down, okay? So we have to put that in our equation. The other part, as budgets were designed or built, for example, for the current year, when we needed some expenses added to the budget, let's take an example. Salary increases. I'm sure that in the preparation of the current year's budget, those areas that allowed us to generate fund balance in the past began to be them. So that's why it's difficult right now to exactly know how much fund balance we may have, hopefully at the end of the year. But to answer your question, I think that's what happens. Is when we design or build fund balance, we begin to cut those areas that we can reduce, and thereby it dries up the fund balance. That's what's going to happen, because when we construct this budget for next year, my guess is there's going to be zero coming out of it to help us with fund balance for the next school year budget.
Okay.
I have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is there any risk or possibility that any funds will come back and it will be over the fund balance again?
What if I were sitting there?
I don't want to have this conversation again next year.
You can't answer it though. We don't.
What I would do.
Yeah, I know.
What I would do now is let's just use a what if. Let's say that the district used $2 million of our fund balance to support the budget and try to hang on to $2 million. If there's any chance that the district may get some extra revenue coming in from the state after they do their battle, then maybe we take and we appropriate $3 million of the fund balance with the thought that $1 million of those appropriations are going to be coded so they cannot be expended unless the state comes through with the money. The state comes through with the money, our fund balance stays $2 million, but they have those appropriations to be able to spend. if it doesn't come through, the appropriations are locked down, we still end up with $2 million at the end of the year. That would be my prediction for the district, if I could suggest that.
Can we, instead of making it a monetary sum, can we make it specific to, for example, personnel, regardless of amount?
Well, I think the downside of that, I don't mean to speak here, but it'll be in the contracts. We're going to have to notify people, I'm sure, if it isn't done through attrition.
Right.
I'm just trying to see a way to of saving your job instead of having a dollar amount in there.
Yep.
That's in part how some application of major jobs money enters the form.
Right.
To some degree, it'll enter into the form. Mm-hmm.
Leonard?
Well, I'm going to say what Karen said. Contingency budget is probably what we're going to end up with. So I guess that's probably what we're going to, because people are not going to give any extra this year. You know that after the advertisement that we've had, people are going there and saying they better not be raising my taxes this year. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but even a contingency would raise
Stan?
It.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to raise it at 30%. It's going to happen.
The contingency limit. In a contingency budget, you are allowed to be the lesser of, Karen, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think it's the lesser of the CPI index for the year times 120%. That CPI index that just came out in February was 1.6%. 120% of that is approximately like 1.89 or 1.9%. Or 4%, whichever is smaller. So
that's how much it can be raised.
Right. So approximately 1.9% over last year's budget is what a contingency budget level would be. And the numbers Karen has thrown out, she's already calculated that, saying we have to cut this budget that we sent out that had 40.9 million in that budget. She's saying we've got to cut 2.9 out and get down to 38 million. That's a contingency budget.
And let me clarify that I'm not saying that need to provide guidance, that if I was sitting there, I would want to come down to where my comfort level, if there's such a thing in the situation, is knowing that if it doesn't approve, that's where we have to go. And in addition to the figure I gave you, I didn't know how much student supplies is in the budget. That's another amount that needs to come out. Community use of buildings and grounds, I had that as recreation had to come out. Certain equipment, and if my memory serves correctly, that's equipment that is not state aided, like our computer assisted instruction. We get, I think it's like $34,000 or $35,000. That amount of appropriation for equipment could stay in, but all the other equipment items have to come out. And then there's certain salary increases, but I don't think we ever had to do a deduction for certain salary increases. We'd have to look into that. But anyway, that's a fairly close number without looking at the administrative component to make sure that's within the guidelines also.
Okay.
Well, fine. I'd like to see you drop below contingency just to help us out next year. And we kind of labeled it as paper clips, but there's still a lot of money in there, this budget, and it has to be taken out for next year on supplies. I don't think the sports teams need to travel for these exotic trips for scrimmages, and I mean, we've been living the high life. We can't do that, and we can't look at doing it all with the FTEs, because then next year you can't cut. We're a service agency. We're supposed to have them. So we've got to, and I hope getting there, we can slash all those other things too, not just looking at the FTEs and expecting that to carry the limit. And those FTEs have to come across the board. And I'm sorry, you can take people out of the high school. And, I mean, we do have programs in the high school that are extra. They're not required by the state. They're not mandated. I'm sorry. We've got to look hard at these. We can't just say, okay, well, we've got this nice new history program. Yeah, it's nice. It's great. It's fantastic. It's like, but we have to look at all the categories, everything, administratively down to custodial. I mean,
That's why I asked for a breakdown, because I agree with you. I think you have to make sure we keep the fundamentals.
Yes.
And not cut those before you cut other.
Right. Contents. I mean, but. Yeah, if we can get to 37,99999, I'd be happy, because it's just going to help us next year.
I'd like to see us stay at 4%. Okay, my main concern is when we start talking about cutting positions, I don't want to see the students suffer. Okay, I'd rather see programs go. I'd rather see. You know, I think there's a lot of places where it can be taken out across the, like Stan said. But my concern is when the positions start going is, you know, the quality of education for students.
If you're okay with getting trying to get it down to contingency level.
We'll
see where we're going to be at.
Yeah,
the contingency
for
the way to get to the
contingency. We always put back.
I'd like to see it go down to contingency level, and, you know, obviously providing the best possible education we can provide. But I really do think that as much as my own children love sports, that I really think that's something we really need to look at hard and keep it in perspective that the main reason why we're here is to provide a quality education. And even though sports and all that stuff play a wonderful part in it, sports, clubs, all those things. They really, really need to be looked at closely and fairly.
Just one comment. I know we all went around. I think basically what you guys are trying to say is without harming the child. That's what I'm there too. Mm-hmm. Without harming the child. That's, you know, cuts are nice, but when you get, you know, you get on the muscle, but when you hit bone, I think that's what we don't want to do.
You may upset a few of them,
yeah,
but not harm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I mean. No harm. I mean, they're getting a basic education that they need to have to, you know, get, you know.
That's going to be tough in the next couple of years.
Did you have yours?
Come on, Steve.
Then the target.
That's an easy out.
The target and additional.
He learned a few.
2.878, 168, and 48 cents. Okay. I'm assuming I continued the analysis on the EduJobs portion of possible.
I think
I'm for using it for that.
You're
really
gonna have to. I mean, and put it up where it needs to be, that people might be willing to accept it. It's only going to help us out. The more people we can get to take the early retirement, the more
that's
it's going
to
help us out.
We have to harm. We don't harm anybody we don't have.
This is going to be a killer. This is going to hurt.
Do you have any, off top of your head, estimate on how many people would actually be interested in a retirement?
Yeah, we talked very briefly on it earlier, but it's a very difficult number, because the association leadership, for example, and the teachers, the support staff leadership, etc., they can go to their members and say, I can't tell you an amount, but would you be interested? Okay. And their members are asking the reverse question, well, what is the amount, and I'll tell you if I would. So we're at that awkward spot where we're guesstimating,
right,
by throwing out an amount. That's kind of where I was going tonight. And you saw my update. I proposed one as an example. I want to be able to move from, well, what do you think if, to is this the amount? And I know it's hard. I know the challenge that poses, but the answer to your question is not going to come clearly without somebody saying, okay, I have to weigh this number against my choice.
So could we get a basic idea on what that number is if we did a survey. Basically, you sent it out and say, if you're interested in hearing more information about this, could you please contact me by such and such a date so we can have a projection?
The bargaining groups and their leadership currently are attempting to do that. I can't say it's a, you know, it's a paper pencil survey. I just know that the folks I've talked to have said we're talking to the individuals. We know who's eligible because we get that from personnel. We print that out. We know who's eligible. Who's eligible a year from now? Who'd be eligible 2 years from now? Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, as you know, with the retirement plan, if you are it's eligible to retire from the state, you retire without penalty because you contributed in and you're eligible. So an amount means something different to a person who could go now with their full benefits than it would be a person a year from now who's looking at decreased rates for the rest of their lives from the retirement system. But how much would be enough for me to still do that? Mm-hmm. There are individuals, as you well know, with working second jobs, or who might in fact be having their own businesses, where they're saying, you know, I get a chance to kind of beef up that business, I'm going to have income coming from there. Those are the decisions that are not mine to know, but they may they factor all that into their decision.
The only thing I want to throw in there is the other schools have offered, so they're probably looking at what the other schools offered, whatever that was. So, I mean, if another school offered 15 grand, then that's what they're looking at because the other school's got it. So I think we have to keep that in mind, too. But the more, I mean, you might offer less, but, I mean, that's what they're probably thinking about. Well, the other school got this and this one got that.
So maybe they should go teach at that school?
That was uncalled for. But I'm just saying, that's you're going to be in the ballpark.
I know. I'm throwing the scope.
Mary, do you have any questions as to what the direction of the board is so far tonight?
No. It's pretty clear to me. The notes that I took down, the current budget that we have here is 40.9. We want to take 2.9 out to come in around 38 million and keep 4% in the fund balance if we can. But the budget itself, the fund balance, keeping that at that level is a challenge just with decreased revenues, just so everybody knows that. You know, getting the budget to contingency budget is like a safe harbor. That's, you know, if it's voted down, that's where we are. So yes, we're going through the exercise that's well worth going through.
Yep.
Okay. Karen, go ahead.
The only suggestion I have, Steve, and I'm agreeing with Stan, I'd like to see an analysis. If the teachers we give the incentive to retire and we don't have to backfill, I think that would be a good thing. But we also better analyze a little bit what would happen if we have to backfill the position. Is it a break even and we only are giving, you know, an incentive? You know, I think we need to weigh that a little bit too.
Yeah. Correct. That would all be figured into the equation before we, so that we would know what it is.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? I think
You had asked a question earlier about the driver's ed position, and that is in this budget you received, but it's not in at our retiring teacher's rate. It's in at the new teacher's rate. So the breakage is already built into this budget.
Okay.
And subtracted out.
Is there anybody on the board that's against that? I mean, we really haven't. I think we did once say that we were going to, we thought that was a position that was to
they even had it on TV last month saying it was one of the most important classes you could have.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Everybody, till Tuesday. We will.
I guess I'll definitely say I support it, but also if administration comes back that has to be one of the cuts, I'm going to support administration.
Okay. Ed, did you have one more question?
Yeah.
That's easy.
In preparation for the onslaught of the public here, I think that it's in our best interest to start producing some sort of a press release update that allows us to educate the public on where we are, how we compare to the other districts.
That's going to be coming anyways. That'll all be in the presentation, our budget presentation that we have to do.
I understand that, but I think we need to do a little more than what we normally do, to so that if people get that press release, they'll want to come. I think better educated to the presentation in the auditorium. I guess some more information to the public may allow us to be able to let them understand better why we have to increase.
On that point, I can speak about even asking the team and maybe board members. I'm very comfortable putting the dog and pony act together and going to the social clubs and dinner meetings and whatever we can get invited to have the straightforward talk about what we're building, so there's no last second surprises for groups that may not be following in the paper or just haven't figured out what's mean to me. Mm-hmm. So I say that to the full board. I would do that anyway. I assume you want me to be able to do that. I'll get myself invited wherever I can for groups that want to assemble to say, here's what we're trying to accomplish and this is what it would be.
Right. Okay.
Just on that note, I have a lot of people talk to me and they always think, well, I only took reading, writing, and arithmetic when I was in school, and why do we have to pay for this? I don't think a lot of the people understand the scope of what we have to teach. And I think that would be a good segue in that, saying, you know, these are required. We have no choice. You know, I can't get rid of that. You know, if you want it, we'll get somebody else in Congress or something. But
that's right. Yeah.
You know, there's nothing I can do about that.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
I was mentioning to Steve off to the side, another idea would be to know that some of the boards, I believe there are current board policies sometimes dictate costs. And I would suggest if there's a willingness, I would be glad to do it alone or to work with a board member to go through all of the policies to identify where our own design and our own language has incurred a cost to the district. You may decide to waive that or change that language because of a cost associated with it. It's in your purview to do it.
Okay. I volunteer, Pauline.
Just well, yes.
Do you want a board member on that? Or do you just want to do it?
Oh, he can do it. I'll do it. I'd love you to do it, Pauline.
Oh, yeah.
No, since the board was gracious enough to give me a little break, I appreciate that after stepping down and giving Steve the easy job.
He's going to volunteer.
I'm going to volunteer.
Oh, my God.
I'm quite familiar with policies and work with them so long. I'll step in.
I nominate Stan. You're out.
Just contact me. We'll set up a time. And
okay.
I'll have Pauline
Thank
show
you.
Up.
Yeah.
She'll scare
him. That's fine. That's okay. I'll just
see you. Tuesday, I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
By Richard.
Second.
By Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Take 5 minutes and then we have just a board cleanup thing we have to do. It's not going to get long. It's not exactly.